Welcome to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts, Steven.
And Kyle.
And we're here to get weird. So, let's get weird. So, before we get into tonight's episode, we got to get through the business. So, you can catch us at all our social media pages on Facebook. You can catch us at the Hollow Sky Podcast page or the Hollow Sky Podcast fan group, where you can get on there, interact with us, interact with other listeners, and talk about conspiracies, what you want to hear on the show. Just basically have a good time. You can check us out on Twitter, check us out on Instagram, and check us out on YouTube. We're on all there. Just look us up, Hollow Sky Podcast.
Yeah, and then we also have a phone number you guys can call us and leave your personal stories. And that phone number is going to be 1-877-800-HOLLOW or 4656. And then you can also, on your smartphones, there should be a voice recorder app that you can use, and you can record your entire story on there with no breaks, no anything, and you can halfway edit it if you want to, and then you can just email it to us at hollowskypodcast@gmail.com.
So if you have a encounter or a story or a conspiracy theory that you'd like to share with us, just let us know. Call us at the number or send us the voice memo, or you can even email us, hollowskypodcast@gmail.com, and we will get it on the show. We'd love to hear from you guys.
Yeah, and right, with the voice recorder, like I said, it doesn't break at all, which the phone number, if you call in, it's up to what, like 5 minutes?
Yeah, if you run over 5 minutes, you'll have to call back and finish your story.
So we'll have to splice that together, which is no big deal. I'm just saying that it might be a little bit easier, a little more user-friendly to use the voice memo app, because, like I said, you can make it sound as good as you want or just spit it out there and we'll take care of the rest.
Yeah, and it doesn't affect the quality of the call
at all
from what we've been messing around with.
Right.
Also, for our iTunes listeners, feel free to jump on there and leave us a 5-star rating and review if you feel so inclined. If you do leave us a 5-star rating and a review, we will gladly shout you out on here. I mean, you can get on there and leave us a 1-star if you want. Just tell us however you feel, but
we prefer you not.
Yeah, if you do leave us a 5-star and a review, we will shout you out on here. So today's 5-star shout out and review is the Carroll Sisters. Thanks for all the kind words. The reason these ratings are so important on iTunes is the higher of a rating you get, the more available you're made to people on iTunes. You pop up on the list faster, and it just helps out a great deal getting our numbers up there. So for everyone that's already done it and everyone who wants to do it, we thank you. Speaking of listener submissions, we have a call in from our friend Sarah in Missouri. So here it is for you guys. Check it out.
Hey guys, my name is Sarah. I am from St. Louis area, Jefferson County area specifically. Like the podcast, it's very intriguing and interesting to hear these sort of stories, especially, like you said, when you have an occurrence or something like that in your life that seems like a trick of the mind or a dream or something, but you have that deep, nagging feeling that it's real, and it makes you more and more interested to hear more stories like it and to hear the similarities. Anyway, my story is when I was younger, I do not recall what age I was, possibly like 8 or 10 in my parents' home. I distinctly remember walking past the staircase to our basement. It wasn't like open wall sides. It was all like enclosed to a concrete floor in the basement. Our laundry room is like at the top of the stairs there, so that's why I was walking past it, glanced down and saw my sister standing at the bottom of the staircase, kind of looking up, had a, you know, not too expressive look on her face, like she didn't care that I was there or saw her, you know, didn't smile at me or whatever. I kind of, you know, like, passed the door as I saw her, but then leaned back, you know, to do a double take, sort of an actual look at her. And as I did that, and I stare at her for a moment, she does look towards me and at me and, like, make eye contact and then gives me this, like, creepy, evil smile that totally terrified me. And I didn't say anything to her. And I just, you know, being a young kid along with that feeling, like, it kind of freaked me out. And I was like, okay, you know, like, what was that? Like, why did she look at me like that? So I, like, quickly move away from the door. I mean, you'd think that it would be my sister, and I would be like, what are you doing or whatever? But no, it freaked me out. And I stepped away from the door, grabbed whatever I was doing in the laundry room, and then went back past the door, you know, to go back in our main living area. I didn't see her or it down there anymore at that time. And the door is right there next to me, so nothing could have come up the stairs or passed me at that moment. So here's where it gets creepier. I go back into our main living area, which has no other access to the basement, and it's all within, like, a minute or two, and start walking into the, like, down through the living room into our other main hall, on the main level of the house. And there comes my sister walking out of the, like, hallway into the living room area, and I just kind of stop and, like, look at her for a moment, and she looks at me and goes, what, you know? I mean, she's younger than me. So if I'm, like, 8 or 10, she's, like, 5 or 6 or something, you know? But, like, she looks at me like, what, you know, like, because I'm looking at her, like, I want to say something to her. But she acknowledges that I look at her, and she's like, what? And I was like, you know, nothing. And she was like, were you going to say something? And I'm like, no. Well, were you in the basement? And she was like, no. And I was like, oh, okay. Are you sure you weren't in the basement? And she's like, yes, I just came from the hallway, you know, where I was in Mom and Dad's room. And I was like, okay, sounds good. I don't think I explained to her at that moment because I just felt like I was crazy or imagining something creepy. But why would I imagine that? Like a daydream, you know, usually a daydream about exciting things or candy, you know, if you're a kid, not something creepy like that. So that's my main story, unexplainable. I think I've mentioned it to her years down the line, and she was creeped out, like, wow, you know, I can't believe you never told me that. And I was like, well, I thought I was crazy for seeing that, or it was, you know, just made up in my mind, so. Yeah, super creepy. I think other things associated around that house or that time frame and stuff, I just, like, would feel like I'm being watched kind of or something and, like, turn around and just, like, creepy feelings. Maybe I got that paranoia feeling from that event. Nothing too major. That was the only major thing or event. The other thing I wanted to suggest to you guys is to look up Google Earth. In the approximate area where I grew up there, is by, High Ridge, Missouri. If you search on Google Earth, the entire Beaumont Boy Scout camp, and then across the highway, across 44, there is the, Tyson Research Center. In the Tyson Research Center area and on the other side of the highway near Beaumont Boy Scout Camp and then other surrounding areas, there are shapes and images in the wooded area. I mean, it's not fields. It is woods. But there are shapes in the woods that would resemble something like crop circles. That you would, you know, what's talked about, but it's in wooded area. So just always found that kind of creepy. Not sure when that was brought to my attention and when I did that, looked it up, but every time I go back to look it up, it's still there, you know, on Google Earth. So it's very interesting, mostly in the Tyson Research area. If you, like, go in, zoom out there, and then zoom out slowly and just go to the right a little bit, I think, or up or left or right a little bit in that area and kind of scroll or pan to the side. And yeah, it's very interesting to see.
I think that is about it. I can't remember anything else. If I remember anything else, I will call back and give you guys my stories. Talk to you later. Keep up the good work with the podcast. Bye.
We also got a follow-up message from Sarah that I'm just going to tack on to the end here. It says, hey guys, I just left two messages for you. I just wanted to add an avenue for you to ask questions if you had any, and also add a visual detail that kind of makes my demon alien being story a little creepier. It's already super creepy that it looked like my sister and smiled at me, an evil smile. But my sister was the cutest little blonde wavy haired girl who was very imaginative. We'd always shared a room together in that house. All right, I want to start out by saying thanks, Sarah, for sharing your story with us.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
And I'm going to break this down into two parts, I guess. I'm going to start out with the weird symbols near High Ridge in the Beaumont Boy Scout camp. I looked it up. I Google Earthed it. Everybody should do that. They're pretty weird. I'll take some screenshots of it and post it to all the social media so everybody that listens to this can chime in there and check it out. They're weird, man.
They are weird, but I did some research, and I was wondering if it has anything to tie into with that Tyson research facility, because it's like a biological research place.
Yeah, and
it's like 8,000 acres or something like that.
I'd ask some people in some other Facebook groups I follow that don't have anything really to do with paranormal, but I'd ask them about it when Sarah brought this to our attention. And one of the guys I was talking to pulled up the topographical maps, and the circles in those images, or I guess they're not even images, whatever's out there in the fields, those circles are raised topographical, like, things.
Right.
So, I don't know, it's bizarre.
Well, there was even, like, a, I guess for lack of better examples, like a pound-looking sign.
Yeah, like an asterisk.
Yeah, which is really
like
weird.
Like a star.
Which didn't some people suggest to you that it could be shooting lanes for hunting or
something
for like
muzzle, like muzzleloader shooting lanes or something?
I don't know. When you put that into perspective, I don't see that being anything worth legitimizing.
No, I'd have to be out there and see like what they mean.
Yeah,
people shooting at each other.
Yeah,
or
you'd think it'd be like a Russian roulette of let's see who can get the animal and not each other.
Yeah. But I started out talking about that because, interestingly enough, this October, me and my youngest son were at the Beaumont Boy Scout camp, and it's pretty rugged out there. There's not a whole lot going on, but as we were sleeping, I was woken up one night in our tent at about probably 2:30 in the morning, hearing a bunch of wood knocks out in the woods, and I'm like, man, somebody's messing with me, you know? It was just a series of three knocks on a tree out in the woods.
Right.
So maybe Sasquatch made those markings over at the Tyson research facility.
That's possible. Or there's other things.
I should have went out and looked for him while I was there at the Boy Scout camp, but I was too scared. I ain't trying to fight a Bigfoot.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Especially not in the middle of the night.
So jumping into the other section of Sarah's story. This is a creepy story, man. When I first heard it, it messed with me a little bit. Like, it's creepy.
It is strange. I want to know why, in your response to Steve, one of the things you try to peg it as is alien.
That's because she knew you were going to hear it, Kyle.
Probably.
And she's like, Kyle's going to think this is aliens.
Yeah, we all know by now that I'm an internet meme.
That you are. You are famous.
But, no, just curious. Just out of curiosity as to why you'd peg it as an alien. I mean, I could see the peg as and a demon because they you know, take on the form of kids, you know, young children.
Yeah, I've read that.
Right, but I don't know. When it came to deciphering it, it instantly popped in my head was doppelganger.
Yeah.
And a lot of the lore behind doppelganger is that there's usually one good and one bad. I don't really know a whole lot more than that, but I know that a lot of the lore does say that there's usually one good, one bad. And it's basically what a doppelganger is somebody who would essentially be a stranger to you, but looks exactly like you. And I know that it wasn't of her that she's seen in the basement. It was of her sister. Yeah. But it's possible that she saw her sister's doppelganger.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that kind of thing happens. I believe it happened to my mom once. She was on a train to Chicago, I think, and a woman came up and was asking her, like, questions in regards to another woman my mom had never met. But apparently my mom looked so much like her that the woman had got her confused with somebody completely different.
That's weird. Know?
It's pretty wild. Another avenue we can look into with Sarah's experience is parallel universes or alternate realities, which is kind of why we saved her story for this episode. You know, that entity that you saw, that being you saw, could possibly be your little sister from a different universe, a different reality that just maybe perhaps bled over into yours for that tiny amount of time and then bled right back. It's bizarre.
It is bizarre. But in this case, fortunately, it's a good thing that it did only bleed over for a little bit.
Yeah, especially the way back. She described it. Yeah.
You know, and oddly enough, you know, when we talk about time slips and the multiverse and et cetera, I'd actually texted Steve about it just the other day. It was the strangest thing. I stayed up a little late playing video games, went and crawled into bed, and I don't know if I was asleep or if it was the pre-sleep thing or whatever it was, but I remember laying there, and then I started seeing another man walk into my bedroom, and he had blue jeans on, short beard. It was a blackish, dark brown colored hair and beard. And then he had a blue flannel. I remember that pretty vividly. And I don't know, I saw him and Shauna, which would be my wife, walking into my bedroom, and they were talking, but I couldn't hear them. And next thing I know, he turns. She keeps walking into the bedroom. She climbs into bed. He turns to walk into my son's bedroom. And I just had the most ominous feeling that he was going to take my son away. And it was so apparent that I literally got out of my bed and walked into my son's room to make sure that he was still there and he was okay. And it kind of, after that, it just kind of went away. You know, I just went, climbed back into bed and went to sleep. But I just thought it was so weird because the picture was so vivid in my head. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I felt like it was really happening. Like it almost felt like I didn't belong there for a second. It was freaking strange.
Yeah, that sounds strange. When Shauna climbed into bed with you, did you feel her climb into bed?
No.
No.
Nope.
Did any time did either of those entities, so to speak, interact with you, like acknowledge
that
you were
there? No, they didn't even acknowledge that I was there. That's why it felt so strange.
Like it just kind
of... It was like I was peering in to something that I wasn't supposed to be a part of.
Kind
of
overlapped.
It was strange. It was so weird.
Dude, that's weird shit.
It was super weird.
You start looking into parallel universes and things like that, it's hard for my mind to comprehend. I don't think I'm a very dumb guy, like I'm not bragging on myself or anything, but when I started into that shit, my brain hurts.
Oh yeah, it definitely.
It makes me feel like I can't comprehend what I'm trying to comprehend.
Absolutely, I'm the exact same way.
Like, you look into string theory and stuff.
Oh, don't even.
According to some theories, there's a universe for every possible outcome of everything that has ever been, ever. Like,
what?
Yeah. Wrap your brain around that.
No.
Wrap your brain around that.
It's like hitting a telephone pole is what it's like.
And, there's a universe where Elvis is still alive and he's the president of the United States.
Right.
There's a universe where you're the president of the United States. There's a...
Yes.
Universe where Donald Trump is the president of the United States, which is this universe.
Well.
And you start diving down that stuff and it gets... harder and harder and harder to comprehend. And on top of that, they're starting to get evidence that, you know, maybe more than one universe exists.
Which is absolutely insane. Because I remember when you texted me and told me that they thought, or they're thinking, they have evidence that there could be parallel universes based upon what was going on in outer space.
Yep. It's, I don't know, I can't even.
Dude, you want to talk about a benchmark?
Can't even bounce into that. Like,
the fact the fact that scientists make the claim that, hey, based upon what's happening out in outer space, this might be proof that there are other universes out there and that they are, from time to time, bumping into ours.
Yeah, and it's not like talking about like another planet that has life on it. Like, that in itself is awesome, but this is another universe. This is another reality, an alternate reality where you and I could essentially be existing and not have any idea that there are infinite numbers of us out there doing infinite numbers of things.
When you put it like that,
or the human brain can't even grasp infinite. We live in we think in a way where we have to have things in containers, you know. That's how we measure sizes.
Right.
Put things in containers, you put number values on it. Infinite, you can't. You can't.
Right. I don't know. It'll melt your brain if you start thinking about it too much.
That's for sure. So get ready for this.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty wild trip.
Yeah, tonight's episode, we're going to jump into some parallel universes, alternate realities, stories and happenings. And either somebody's messing with some stuff or there's some realities that are crisscrossing around this place.
Yeah, it's enough to make your brain hurt a little bit.
So one of the more controversial pieces of quote-unquote evidence that people are putting out for the existence of an alternate reality is a phenomenon known as the Mandela Effect, which involves mass misremembering of the same facts or details by large numbers of people. The theory's origin begins in 2010 with a paranormal researcher named Fiona Broom, when she found that a fact she clearly remembered seeing on the news, that Nelson Mandela had died in prison in the 1980s, was actually wrong, and that he in fact was still alive at the time, indeed living until 2013 when he died from a respiratory illness at his home. This perplexed her. She so vividly and clearly remembered his death in the 80s, and when she voiced this puzzlement online, there was a deluge of others who seemed to share the same memory of that exact thing, claiming that they clearly recalled seeing it on the news and even could envision reports, and they'd even been taught about it in history at school.
Wow.
Baffled, Broom went on to formulate the idea that this gap between reality and what was so strongly remembered by large groups of people who had these shared memories was perhaps caused by these people somehow having splintered off and shifted over between parallel dimensions, brushing up against each other while keeping the memories of their old reality and timeline, which often did not completely line up with the way things are, but with the new one. Broom would go on to write numerous articles and books on the subject until the Mandela Effect kind of took off on the internet.
Right.
So I'm going to bounce in with some of these examples of the Mandela Effect. Run them by you, see what you remember.
Right.
Run them by all of our lovely listeners out there, see what they remember compared to what is actually out there now. So the biggest one I remember is when I was younger, there was a movie out about a genie called Shazam, right?
Yeah.
You remember this? Mm-hmm. Remember seeing it?
Yeah.
The genie was played by Sinbad. Right?
Yeah.
Right. You remember it? I remember it. I remember watching it when I was a kid.
Yeah, not to get it confused with Kazam.
Yeah. Which is a different movie altogether. But
yes.
Back to Shazam with Sinbad actually does not exist. The movie was never made.
I don't know. I remember that one. I remember the movie.
Everybody I talk to remembers the movie.
I know.
But if you go crunching through the internet trying to find it, it's not there.
No.
You can find little Photoshop pieces of bullshit that people put together, right, to try to prove it. And one person actually asked Sinbad at one of his comic shows at the very end. They had an open question and someone yelled out, what about Shazam? And to add further mystery and mud to the water, Sinbad says, if you believe it happened, it happened. And that's all I'm going to say.
Of course you did.
So that's probably the biggest one. That's the one that everybody talks about.
Yeah, that's the one. Like when you talk about the Mandela effect, I've heard of a couple other ones, but that's what my brain always goes to, is that movie with Sinbad.
Yeah. Another one that's tons of people, especially our age, remember, are the Bernstein Bears.
Yeah.
Read those books when I was little, checked them out of the library, and it was always the Bernstein Bears.
Yep.
Look it up now, and it's the Bernstein Bears.
Nope.
It's like the spellings are completely different. 100% different. I completely remember it as Berestein. Bernstein Bears.
You know what's crazy is I actually have one of those books at home that I read to Gage. I'm going to go home and I'm going to check that spelling.
Take a picture of it.
I'm going to.
Post it.
I'm totally going to, because I still pronounce it the Bernstein Bears.
Yeah. Everybody does.
Yeah.
I've seen videos of people going into their attic. Like, they're so screwed up by this. They go into their attic. They pull the books out, and it's spelled Bernstein. How can thousands and thousands of people misread that for so long?
Hey, Holocult. The weather's getting nice, and you know what that means. It's cryptid hunting season. And the first rule to cryptid hunting is good footwear. That's why we're excited to announce our partnership with Tecovas Boots. When you're out hunting the Dogman or stalking Chupacabra, you don't have time to break in boots. That's why Tecovas is so nice. They have first wear comfort. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with their styles when you're out hunting cryptids.
And let me tell you, their styles are on point. I've always considered getting me a pair of snakeskin boots, and their pair is mint. They also have crocodile boots, caiman boots, ostrich boots, regular leather boots. They have it all, and it's ridiculously awesome. You can even stop by the local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. So just imagine yourself getting a pair of legitimate snakeskin Hollow Sky branded boots. How awesome would that be?
Nothing is going to intimidate a dog man like a nice pair of gator skin boots. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
That,
I don't know,
blows my mind.
Yeah, it, like, We kind of discussed this a little bit before, but it's almost like, you were saying, somebody somewhere is tweaking something.
Yeah.
Just changing just enough of the past or however you want to present it, but changing just enough to A, maybe see what it actually alters later on down the line, or
see if we notice.
Yeah. Hey, are these people are going to start noticing this stuff?
Yeah. If something as asinine as one letter in a children's book, you know, maybe we can change this and we can get away with it. Maybe no one will pick up on it.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, maybe they're changing these little snippets to see what they can and can't get away with and what it actually changes farther on down the line.
And as far as the Berenstain Bears go, like when I was reading that, I was young. I was a young kid. I was just learning to read. I was sounding out all my shit, you know?
Right.
So I don't feel like I would miss that.
No.
And miss it for 34 years. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
It's somebody's pulling some strings or something's bleeding over into this universe.
Right.
It's weirding me out. Another one. So you used to watch cartoons, right?
Well, yeah.
Bugs Bunny, Daffy.
The Looney Tunes.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you remember that being spelled?
LOONEYTOONS.
Oh, yeah, that's how I remember it, too. But guess what? That's not right.
Of course.
It's not right. If you Google it, if you look up, if you try to find it, it's LOONEYTUNES, like the tune, like the song.
That's just stupid.
Yeah, I remember seeing it in my head as TOONS.
Yeah.
But it was never there. You can't find it. It's gone. Gone.
That's dumb.
Still sticking with our childhood. The delicious American cereal known as Fruit Loops. Most people remember it being spelled as FRUITLOOPS. But it wasn't. It was FROOTLOOPS.
No, I'm calling horse shit.
How do you miss that? I might have a box out in the pantry, actually. No, I probably ate it, but whatever.
Yeah, we get those from time to time, and I've never, because the way I remember it is it's spelled fruit, like normal fruit, and then loops has the two pieces of the cereal.
Yeah, the double O's.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You would think if there was two double O's, they would stand out.
Yeah, because you would think that, in theory, if they're going to put two pieces of cereal for the one double O section, they would do it for both 00 sections.
Yeah. Yeah.
And someone's that would, you know, spark your memory.
Like, I get it. You want to mess with my child books? That's cool. You want to mess with my movies? That's cool. But leave my cereal alone. Don't tweak it.
Right.
Just leave it alone. And people are so passionate about the way they remember it. Like, they're drawing out the logos as they remember them, you know?
Dude,
like they
crazy.
See them, they're vividly remembering them in their brains, and they cannot be found on the internet. It goes beyond just visual things. There are a bunch of audio pieces that people misinterpret. Let me look through here. One of the most famous one, which audio you have to kind of take with a grain of salt, because if it's like a one word difference, like the or a or, it could just be people mishearing.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
But one of the biggest lines that people attribute to the Mandela effect is from Star Wars. Luke, I am your father. Everybody remembers it. Everybody quotes it. It's all over the damn place. Right?
Absolutely.
When in fact, he does not say that. He says, no, I am your father.
No, no, no.
He does.
No,
he does.
There's no way.
Go look it up.
I don't believe it.
Go listen to it.
I don't have to. I've fucking watched the movies.
And everyone I know since the beginning of it forever has misquoted that movie.
That's impossible.
I even watched an interview with James Earl Jones that said he read it as such in
the script,
and he remembers doing the scene as Luke, I am your father, but when it came out, it wasn't there.
Man, I wish I still had the OG VHS that I watched that movie on.
He, in fact, says, no, I am your father.
I don't buy it. There's no way.
I don't know, man. There's other ones, but that's kind of the big bomb, like, that messes people up. In the movie Silence of the Lambs, the character Hannibal Lecter never once says, hello, Clarice, which everybody quotes him saying.
Right.
Hello, Clarice. Even though many people tend to think that's one of the movie's most iconic lines and can clearly remember it being said in the film. There is likewise the movie Casablanca, in which the line, play it again, Sam, is never said, even though it's one of the most often quoted lines from the movie. And those two are even almost bigger because they're not even said. Like, how are people hearing lines?
They're just making it up.
That aren't there.
I don't know, man. Next you're going to tell me that they're going to steal Yippee-ki-yay from Bruce Willis and Die Hard. If they do that, I'm out. I'm done.
It's crazy, man. There's all kinds of them. Back to the children book. Do you remember Curious George having a tail?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't.
Oh.
Remember him swinging from stuff? Like, that one, I can kind of go either way. Because if I picture him without a tail, it's still Curious George. But then I see spots in the books and stuff where he was swinging from his tail. So,
why would a monkey not have a tail?
Well, I didn't think of that. Maybe he got it bobbed off in a car door accident. Could be.
Well, I mean,
you ever thought about that, did you?
It's possible. A little gruesome for a child's book, but whatever.
Yeah, there poor are George. Some. So those are just a few examples of the Mandela effect, things that collectively people are remembering that don't exist now. So my final thoughts on that is either people are collectively misremembering these aspects, like there's a memory glitch going on, or there is another reality out there where these little nuances are different and it's bleeding in to our reality. Or even worse, there's someone going through and tampering with the timeline. Like we said before, just changing these minute things to see what effect it has or to see if we can catch it.
Yeah.
How do you remember and the most iconic lines from movies that were never even in the movies?
See, when you word the first two examples right there, when you say how we're all collectively misremembering something, it popped into my head, what if somebody is force-feeding those memories to us to kind of get down, see if they can get down this whole mind control thing. You know what?
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to get at here?
Yeah. Eventually they'll accept that this is spelled wrong.
That's what I'm...
Eventually
yeah.
they'll accept that this line wasn't ever in the movie.
Right.
So eventually they'll accept that this president was never assassinated.
Exactly.
Eventually they'll accept that, you know...
You can just force feed us.
That's what I was thinking
whatever,
too.
Whatever, you know. And then, which is horrifying in itself, but then you talk about what if... something is bleeding into our universe. Well, that's kind of scary in itself because that could essentially be another universe moving into our universe, therefore replacing our universe.
How are we supposed to know what universe we're in, Kyle?
I know, which I was getting ready to say, would we even know the difference in the end?
Well, apparently we do because they misspell my damn Fruit Loops.
That's true. That's true. But what if it just... But like, okay, so we remember it as Fruit Loops, the FRUITLOOPS.
Yeah.
Okay. So in theory, this other universe is kicking in and it essentially replaces... You see what I'm saying? It's cutting out.
Yeah.
Well, we remember, therefore replacing it. So what if one day, you know, you and me get together, or I come over and you're like, who are you?
Hey, Kevin. What's up, Kevin?
I'm like, why do you keep calling me Kevin?
I'm like, that was your name forever, Kevin.
No.
Yeah, you're misremembering.
Do you want to listen to the previous episodes of our podcast?
And you'll go in there and they'll be gone. Because that's what's happening.
That's scary. All this work for nothing.
Next podcast, I'm going to refer to you as Kevin the entire time.
I'll acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Or I won't.
Maybe it'll broadcast over a different universe.
But in the end, what do you guys think?
Yeah, if you guys have any... First, let us know if you remember the examples that I'm giving you, if you remember them as we remember them.
Yeah, I'm super curious to hear what everybody has to say on that list that we just spit out.
Yeah, if you remember them the way they are now, call us out on it. Absolutely. Call the bullshit. Let us know. Another aspect of parallel universes. Someone brought a theory up that us seeing ghosts and entities and other different little blips of the paranormal could also be these alternate realities kind of meshing with ours. Like if what you suspect is a ghost that you see is actually just people from these alternate universes living their everyday lives. So say you see a dead loved one that has passed in this reality. In their reality, they'd never died, and they're just going on with their everyday lives.
Right.
And they're just kind of, we just kind of see that as the two realities kind of pass through one another.
Yeah.
You know? And we don't have any comprehension of other realities. Like, when someone dies, like, they're gone. Yeah. And when you see them, you're like, oh, damn. How am I supposed to work that out in my brain?
Right. See, I think this one's a really fun theory. I don't know that I fully buy it, though. I don't think all my cards are on that one.
No, it's... When you start digging into this stuff, it's just... There's so many possibilities. Like, UFOs. Right? Maybe they're from a different reality, you know? Maybe they're just bopping in and seeing what the hell's going on and bopping back out.
I've heard that theory.
Taking people with them.
I mean...
Chopping them up like the episode Dark Skies.
Well, and that little snippet you sent me the other day on your phone, which was dumb.
The CIA. Yeah.
Oh, that was the most horrifying quote. He sent me this thing and it said, ex-CIA operative says that aliens are using our world as a supermarket.
Gosh.
Horrifying.
Hopefully I'm not on the clearance rack.
That's probably exactly where we are. Maybe we're on the out of date.
Damn it.
If we're on the out of date, then that means they won't mess with us.
They will. Clearly.
Anyways, back to your scheduled programming.
Another interesting story that I found that could possibly tie into alternate realities and parallel universes is this story. I'm just going to call The Man from Tred. So I'll just read what I have here, and you guys can kind of tell me what you think about it. So here it is. One hot July day in the Haneda Airport in Tokyo likely began just as any other day, excessively warm for the staff and customs. Hundreds, perhaps thousands of people trotted through the airport without a second glance. That was with the exception of a solitary bearded man. For reasons that aren't apparently clear, he became the focus of attention for at least one customs official. Perhaps it was the climate or just simple nerves. By all appearances, the man was just another passenger. A smartly dressed businessman is surely just another body to deal with in a busy environment like an airport. In the less security-conscious days of 1954, he must have done or said something that garnered extra attention. When pressed, he stated that this was just another business trip for him, one of several that he made during the course of the year. He stated that his native tongue was French, but Japanese was one of the numerous languages that he was fluent with. Concerned about the possibility of facing a trafficker or smuggler, officials began to question the man. When asked where he was from, he casually informed the officials that he was from Tored. Not familiar with such a place, they pressed for further details. The passengers seemed only too happy to furnish additional data. Tered was a nation situated between France and Spain, which had been in existence for a millennia, over 1,000 years. The simple occurrence of a custom check quickly descended into something resembling a farce, as neither side was willing to accept that the other was being anything other than honest. Just as the customs officials were adamant that no such place existed, the increasing irate passenger was insistent that he was correct. He even produced his passport, issued in Tered, as proof. His previous trips to Japan and elsewhere did appear on the passport as he had claimed. The contents of his wallet had currency from several European nations. In an effort to remove all confusion and expedite matters for them, customs offered their bizarre passenger the chance to indicate where he was from. He pointed to a country we now know as Andorra on the map. Faced with the choice of what to do next, customs were at a loss. Nothing like this had ever happened before, at least not to them. The only real course of action was to investigate the matter further. To do so, they invited the man to spend the night at a local hotel while their inquiries took place. He agreed. As a precaution, a pair of armed guards were stationed outside his hotel room. Japanese customs still had no idea if the man was who he claimed to be. The hotel he originally booked a room had... The hotel he originally booked a room at had no knowledge of a booking in his name. The company who he was due to meet with had no idea who the man was or even the company that he had represented. The bank that issued his check book couldn't be found anywhere either. Convinced that they had caught a criminal in the act he was yet to perpetrate, customs ordered the passenger's return for further questioning. However, when his hotel room was opened, no trace of the man could be found. One of two ways out of the room, the lack of a balcony and a recognized escape attempt, ruled out the window. Neither guard noticed movement within the room either. The door was certainly not opened at all that night. Stranger still, all the man's personal documents, such as his checkbook, passport, driver's license, had also disappeared from within the airport security room. From that day to this day, the man from Tered was never seen or heard from again. So, Kyle, what do you think about the dude from the country that didn't ever exist?
I don't know. It sounds like, I mean, exactly what we're talking about, that somehow he bled over into our world, our universe, whatever you want to call it, you know. And because what's strange about it is, A, he has the currency and everything else from a country that nobody knows, has never heard anything about. And then the other thing that really gets you is at the end of the story, when they go back into his room, and not only is he gone, but all of his paperwork, everything is gone. Like it never existed.
Yeah, it's like he boarded his plane, and when he got off his plane, everything was different, which makes you... This story is good because it kind of shows you the juxtaposition of both sides. Like the airport officials are dealing with this guy who they think is a hoax, you know?
Right.
And if it is a hoax, which I'm not ruling out, it's a pretty well-planned one to have everything from your passport to your currency all be faked. You know,
yeah.
Imagine having to deal with that as an airport official, having a man stating he's from a country, having proof he's from a country that doesn't exist. And on the flip side of that, if this guy's being truthful, could you imagine getting on a plane, flying to your business trip, when you get to where you're going, you get off the plane, and you're telling people, hey, I'm from this country, and they're telling you this country doesn't exist.
That would trip me out.
That's some Twilight Zone shit right
there. Yeah, that would trip me out bad.
Like, that's just, it's bizarre, man.
Yeah, I wouldn't even, I wouldn't know what to think. I would think that the officials are trolling me.
Yeah. Somebody's messing around, like...
Yeah, like, okay, come on.
Somebody's going to jump out, and you're on, what was that stupid MTV show? Punked. Yeah. Surprise. That'd be even worse. I'd be like, send me back to my other reality. Get me the hell out of here.
Or that show doesn't exist.
Yeah, that'd be the best reality. But, so those are just a few instances we found. We're kind of running short on time. This went a lot quicker than I thought we were going to go.
Yeah.
But if any of you guys, I mean, this leads into more questions, you know, like, what about deja vu? Is that
yep.
Is that our brains trying to wake us up? Like, hey, you know, you've been here. Yeah.
Whatever.
What is it? Alter vu and deja. I don't know.
I can't remember the last one.
There's a bunch of weird ones. But if you guys have ever experienced anything that just is out of place, like we said, the Mandela effect, if you remember something being different when you were a child as it is now and you can't find any evidence of it, hit us up and let us know.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you remember the Mandela effects the way that we told them, you know, hit us up and let us know.
Yeah.
If you ever got off the airport and nobody knows what state you're from, let us know. Because we want to hear from you. Like,
definitely that last one.
Yeah.
Because that'd be crazy. Like,
where's Illinois? Nobody knows.
No.
It's whatever.
It's not a big deal.
So, yeah, that pretty much wraps up the topic we had for today. There's so much more we could talk about, but like,
yeah,
I said,
for sure,
burning through time real quick.
Might be something we revisit later on.
Yeah, and if it's something you guys are interested in, or if you guys find better examples, hit us up for sure.
Yeah, because this was fun. This was fun talking about this. So we had a previous caller, Kristen, that called in about with some shadow people, a shadow people story. And we asked a couple questions, and she got back to us. And this is what she said. Yeah, so when I encounter a human spirit, one of the few things happen. I may get a physical heavy feeling or a headache. This is usually the case in a residual spirit. I may get pieces of their personality or things they did when alive. These are intelligent spirits. I say get because somehow the information is there. I don't know how. I have on occasion been able to verify the information, and it always freaks me out a little bit. In either instance, and sometimes without those clues, I sense an energy level almost vibrational. Human spirits, even angry ones, can only generate so much energy. Whatever I encountered in that cemetery had more energy than it should have, even if it was multiple human spirits. I had never encountered anything that felt inhuman before or since, but I stopped looking after that. My equipment has been collecting dust. Shadow people or demons are my best guess, but Kyle may have an alien theory. Winky face.
Do you have an alien theory, Kyle?
No, not really.
Could be aliens.
It could be, but I'm not going to go with aliens on this one. I don't know. I'm kind of torn between her same conclusion, but it was what kind of pops into my head as the way she describes it. It almost makes me think of like the old school cloak cults that wear the black, robes and shit. I don't know. That's just, and how she kind of described it as almost encircling her a little bit, you know, then they're all in a line. Yeah. They were all, I know that. I remember her saying that they were just saying, hey, but it was all on par with each other, almost like how the old cults are kind of like when they do their chants or the seances, they're all on par with each other.
And the way she described it, you can almost picture them like closing their eyes.
Yes, and
bigger
yes,
as
yeah, that's what I see in my head, you know?
Totally.
I don't know, and it is kind of creepy when you visualize, but that's kind of a shame that you kind of hung up the old...
ghost hunting equipment.
Yeah.
I think we should bust it back out.
Yeah.
We need more paranormal stories. Go out there and get us some.
This is true. Sacrifices must be made, Kristen.
And that's a cult pun.
But yeah.
So we're going to probably wrap it up here. We're closing in on our time limit, so to speak. So, check us out. We're going to wrap up the business. Check us out on all of our social medias, the Facebooks and the Twitters and such. And if you got a story, holler at us. Shoot us a call at our phone number. Send us an email. Send us a voice recording. Just get at us. So
yeah, please do. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. We hope you enjoyed the show today.
Yeah, we did. We had a lot of fun.
It was a good time.
Yeah. And just keep in mind, you know, the more stories we get, the more chances we're going to be able to have more episodes.
and to be able to get more, you know, get your stories out there.
Yeah, I mean, like, that, you know, I know a lot of people want more content, and this seems to be one of our biggest complaints is more content.
Yeah, people don't like waiting 2 weeks to get episodes.
You know, and we do, our lives are pretty chaotic.
It's hard to time them right.
It is.
To get together.
You know, but I'm sure we've talked about it in the past, but the way we want to kind of go about is have one of these episodes like me and Steve do and are currently doing, and then try to have a more listener-based episode where we're definitely connecting more with you guys and making you guys a huge part of this show. You know, we're trying right now. We just need more stories.
Yeah,
you know, we're running a little low.
We hope to eventually be able to put together entire episodes based just on listener experiences.
Yeah.
It's what we want to get at. Like once a month or once every so many months, just do a complete listener-based experience episode.
Right.
So if you got some, we still have a few on back file. We're still doing all right.
Yeah, not enough low, probably. You know,
Yeah, we're still got some we're getting through. But so if you haven't heard yours yet, don't freak out.
Yeah.
They're coming.
Yeah, we're definitely
getting
there.
That's why
we're
doing like one or two an episode.
Yeah, we're trying to save as many as we can. And we're trying to, you know, work them in with topics that we want to talk about too to make it flow a little bit better, I guess.
Yeah, so if you got any high strangeness going on out there, tell us about it.
Let us know. I know there's a couple people out there with some stories that they ain't called in with yet.
Yeah.
You know, i.e. Portals and Thunderbirds.
Oh, damn.
You know who you are. I'm not going to call you out, but you know who you are. And I would be extremely excited to hear these stories.
Also, we are flirting with the idea of maybe some merchandise, putting some stuff together. We haven't really pulled the trigger on it yet, but maybe making some t-shirts or some hats or some buttons, some more stickers. If you guys would be interested in, let us know. And if you're on your social media and you see some of our stuff, feel free to share it with other people.
Yeah, please
do. The more people we get involved, the more stories we get, the more this train keeps rolling.
Yeah. This has been a pretty good ride so far. And we are more than blessed with the response that we've gotten. We still can't believe how much we've accomplished in so little time.
That's all thanks to you guys.
Yeah, it is awesome.
So, with that, we love you guys.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Keep us keeping on, and let's get weird and stay weird.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit hyland.com.